Good morning, and welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we like to share positive information, insightful information, educational information, but we also like to have fun, and that's what we're going to be enjoying today. I have a delightful guest. Her name is Shireen Dodson. We're going to be talking about her marvelous book, The Mother-Daughter Book Club. Shireen, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure being with you.
Well, Shireen, there are so many things that moms and daughters go through, and you're so familiar with it. And before we start talking about that, I'd like my audience to know that you are the special assistant to the Director Office of Civil Rights for the U.S. Department of State. You also are very active in your community. You are on the board of directors of the Anthony Bowen YMCA of Metropolitan Washington, Board of Trustees of the Zion Baptist Church, and you're also the chair of the District of Columbia Retirement Board. I wonder
yes.
if you ever get, you know, bored. You have absolutely nothing to do, I can just tell. You're an active member of the Washington chapter of the Jack and Jill of America Incorporated, and you are a founding member of the Coalition of 100 Black Women of D.C., Inc. You live in Washington, D.C. You have three children of your own, all of whom, almost are all adults.
Almost.
You have experience, but what I like about the information that you share is that you took a different turn. So often we try to intellectualize things when it comes to dealing with an adolescent, when it comes to dealing with kids, and sometimes the intellectualization gets to be very dry, very boring, and very ineffective. You decided in 1996 that you were going to start a mother-daughter book club with your daughter, Morgan.
Yes.
Now, give us a little bit of insight to that, because many times young people would say, you have got to be kidding. What? A book club? Give me a break. All right, now you got to tell us what you did and why.
Well, you know, it started on a summer vacation. I was walking along the beach with a friend, and she had a new baby and had a daughter the same age as Morgan, and they weren't getting along. And I started asking them, what did they like to do together? And the only thing they liked to do was read.
Oh.
So I suggested, why not? It just kind of came out of the blue. Why not a mother-daughter book club? And kind of on the way back home to Washington from Martha's Vineyard, I was talking out loud about that conversation, and the light bulbs went off. Morgan loved to read at night and got in trouble reading with a flashlight in bed.
I remember doing that.
We were arguing a lot. She always danced to her own drummer. And I thought, wow, this would be perfect for us. And when I talked to Morgan about it, she actually wanted to do it because she thought, I could read and I could have my friends over.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked her to pick some girls. And, you know, it was really very interesting. She picked girls from different walks of her life. A couple of girls from our church, some girls from her school, some girls from her ballet class. And we invited the group of mothers and daughters to just come to the house and talk about it, and everybody loved the idea.
Well,
and that's kind of how it got started.
You're going to have, and I know we've got a number of mothers that are listening, and there might even be some dads out there listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say this is a wonderful approach, I felt. I have an avid passion for reading myself, always have. And what a wonderful way to be able to make a connection. Also, to be able to get feedback, because that's one of the things that you provided in that environment. And It's just absolutely amazing. Now, how old was your daughter when you started?
Morgan was 9 and in fourth grade, and I think one of the beauties of it, and I should say to all your listeners, it works for any adult-child combination, father-son, grandmother-granddaughter, and you get to talk about life issues through using the book as a backdrop.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to put, using a Washington word, your spin on things without preaching to your child.
Oh, and isn't that a relaxing format?
It is wonderful.
It's a great format because here you are, you've got all of these different persons, all of these different perspectives that can be tossed out.
Mm-hmm.
And something can be incorporated through the material that you're reading and go, well, what should be done about this? Or what should be done about that? That's a marvelous way instead of having the typical stern Victorian lecture positioning.
Right. And usually you talk about things. It was interesting. We talked about dating before any of the girls were old enough to date. So there was no vested interest. Nobody was caught up in what the answers would be. And so you could have an open and free discussion, and you got to hear that you didn't have the only daughter pushing the envelope. They got to hear that they didn't have the only mother who was kind of crazy. So it worked both ways.
Yes, isn't it nice that the young people know that their mothers are not insane?
Right.
And they will have their generational moment, too, so this is something you can pass along. Now, you have something in here. A quote that I really enjoyed by Virginia Hamilton. It's right at the front of your book.
Okay.
I want to share it with my audience. This is how it reads. To our mothers and grandmothers, aunts and great-aunts, to all the women who stood before us telling us about where they came from, what they said, did, and imagined. They let us know they stood for us, talking, they combed our hair, rocked us to sleep, sang to us, told us tales of then and now and tomorrow. They worried about us, they hoped for us, and showed us the way. They cared. I love that.
She was wonderful.
Well, I just love the feel of what she said.
Mm-hmm.
I think so frequently in our world today, there is that falseness that we're so busy being busy that we don't care. And that isn't true because the women of every generation, the fathers of every generation in general, have always been busy.
Yes.
That's just a fact. All right. Let's talk about how you were able, with doing this book club, to develop a friendship with your daughter, which I think is awesome.
Well, you know, I think it just progressed naturally because they begin to learn about who you are, what you're passionate about, through your discussing different books and different situations. And the more you get to know each other, the more you have respect for each other. And that continues to build. And a lot of, you know, there were very few rules, but one of the rules, what is discussed in book club stays in book club. So that if they reveal things in book club, you can't go around the next day and say, now, why did you do that? Or you're going to get in trouble for that. So it was a way to build respect and trust for each other. And I think that is what helped build our friendship.
You have touched on two words, respect and trust.
Yes.
This is such a big issue in today's world. A lot of young people say, why should I respect this? I don't understand respect. Trust. A lot of adults don't trust. The kids don't trust. Just by what goes on in that environment, by establishing those parameters for the adults in the group, as well as for the young people in the group, that is very profound, I think.
Well, I agree, and I think that when you talk about life issues, both adults and the moms get to share some of the things that they're concerned about. and that they may feel uncomfortable about. You get to know some of the issues that your daughters are worried about. Mm-hmm. You know, even the environment. And so as you discuss some of these things and through understanding and they hear some of the things you went through childhood, there was one mom, I'll never forget this, who was the quintessential. She was a Girl Scout leader. She always was compassionate for the girls. All the girls liked to talk to her. And when we had a book that was talking about a bully, she shared that she had been a bully growing up.
Interesting.
And because of how she had behaved growing up, which led to her being very understanding and compassionate with all kinds of girls. Mm-hmm. And so when the girls could hear and see how a bully can actually be transformed into this wonderful human being, it gives them a different appreciation maybe for some of the uncomfortable situations they've been dealing with at school.
And another perspective of that is she made up her mind to change her behavior.
Yes,
and so
absolutely.
By making up her mind to change her behavior, wow, if I have something I don't like, then I can change my behavior.
Absolutely.
What an awesome experience to share with a young person, because all of us encounter bullies one time or another. Even as adults, we get, you know, we have some of those twits that are out there. So, excuse me, I get rather verbal. Anyway, you make the point, and just by what you're discussing, is that mothers, daughters, fathers, sons see things differently. And
yes.
They see different things. And I think that's every generation. And I love that point that you brought out because it's important. It's a very important fact. You see, the daughters are always gathering images and ideas about the world, about themselves, about their futures. Boy, we all have done that.
Yes.
We all do that. Every single generation does that. So why is it that books are so valuable? I know my positioning on books and my passion for them, but what did your girls and the mothers find out about the value of reading?
Well, I think reading, you know, it can be, the book club encompasses all the aspects of reading because part of it is very personal when you are reading the book in preparing for the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it allows you to escape. It allows you to step out of the rat race as a mom of everyday responsibilities. When you read, maybe in preparing for the book, you're reading together with your daughter. We used to, when she was young, each read a chapter out loud to each other.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave you really quality time, and you can talk about things along the way. And then when you got into the bigger setting, it was really not moms and daughters more than it was girls and women.
Mm-hmm.
And so books are tangible. I mean, you can put your hands on them. They just open up whole new worlds and whole new ideas of thought and feeling that I don't think you get from anything else.
I agree with you 100%. I like it. I'm going to quote from your book. You say, books are a great equalizer. You may not have the money to travel the world, but with a library card as your passport, your horizons for exploration and self-discovery are unlimited. That, to me, just is so important. I remember what it gave to me when I was a child. I mean, I was reading before I was 5 years old. I just have a passion for books, and fortunately, I'm doing what I love to do. You know, I read 400 to 600 books a year. So here I am, you know, doing what I love to do, which I feel very fortunate about, interviewing people like yourself who have an equal passion. But what this does also for young people is that it gives them an enthusiasm about learning.
Yes.
That, to me, is invaluable. And you also bring up something that to me was so important, and it was about academics.
Yes.
And so frequently it has been more with females than with males. It's not so much today as it was, but it still exists. The girls are not expected to become mathematicians or scientists or anything of this the high academic level. It's okay if you get into some certain circles of academia, but there's others that was always like the good old boys club. You say, in studies conducted by the American Association of University Women, researchers have described the typical school culture as one that teaches our daughters to silence themselves, discounting their learning styles, curbing their questions, and focusing instead on striving to please. This
yes.
is like the 1800s.
This is
something that there, it's not all bad, but the wonderful aspect that I have found among males is that they've always been encouraged to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
They've been encouraged to go out and find, you know, the bug of the world or develop the engine of the world. And girls were very discouraged from doing that. You were supposed to look pretty, smell nice, know what to say, how to serve tea, and that's a little bit dramatic, I think, in today's world, but you get my point.
Well, but and the book club, it answers that because there's no stupid questions. Girls
yeah.
learn to speak out, express their ideas, ask questions, because now the girl who's hosting the book club, she facilitates the discussion. She makes up the questions, she asks the questions, and she moderates. So they learn to speak out, they learn to facilitate a meeting, they learn skills that are transferable in schools and outside of school.
And I think of the adults. Some of the adults maybe have not been in a positioning of developing that kind of self-confidence
mm-hmm.
in education. What a wonderful forum for adults and young people to enable each other. I think this is just absolutely fabulous. That's why I so enjoyed your book, and you encourage conversation.
Yes, it is about conversation. And, you know, it's funny. Sometimes there you get a book club where there's a group of type A moms, and the daughters, after they get their little sea legs, they will say, okay, moms, that's enough. Give us a chance. And they really do learn how to have a conversation and mutual respect for each other.
It's also a forum for discussing issues.
And life issues.
Any kind of life issues. It can be regarding politics. It can be regarding anything.
And anything.
You have a number of wonderful, wonderful books for the younger ones that might be involved in a book club
mm-hmm.
and for those as they are becoming mature adults. And I think this is marvelous. And I think the fact that everybody has to read this, and then you come to the book club, and you again have the facilitator, everybody takes a turn, and you're able to communicate. I think that's so good because, you know, there's a lot of adults that never have that opportunity to communicate.
And also, you know, I tell, you know, when you're really thinking about starting a club, you know, the girls kind of pick the people who they should be in it. And sometimes they may pick somebody who you're not too sure of in terms of they're not a reader or what. But they'll come. They'll read the book. They'll come to the meeting prepared. And you as a mom have to come prepared. Now, sometimes if you have a real busy schedule, you might also want to get the book on tape and pop it in your car and listen to it to and from work.
Good point.
Good if you have a child that maybe is not as strong a reader as some of the others initially, get her the book on tape as well so that she doesn't feel so self-conscious. There's lots of techniques like that so that you can make everyone feel comfortable.
And I think when the love of reading is accepted by a youngster, their world is transformed for the rest of their life.
I totally agree.
It gives them a freedom. It gives them the opportunity to know that they can go to that public library and they can get any book on any subject matter that they want and they can read it. They can educate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just marvelous. I want to share one of the letters that was sent to you by Becky Linnefelt, a founder of the Tacoma Park Mother-Daughter Club in Tacoma Park, Maryland. She said, the Tacoma Park Mother-Daughter Book Club is a club of 7 girls and 7 mothers, formed when our daughters were 6 and 7 years old. Our girls are now 7 and 8 and in 2nd and 3rd grade. We started by reading The Wheel on the School by Meindert de Jong and knew at the first meeting that something very special had happened and that this would indeed be a journey we would continue on with these girls. They amazed us with their thoughts, their ideas, their enjoyment of the book, their maturity, their memories, and she had an exclamation point like that, and their enthusiasm. Since that first book, we have met on almost a monthly basis and have enjoyed a variety of books, some more popular than others, but all loved in their own way. After reading James and the Giant Peach this summer, we went to a children's performance of the book at Imagination Stage. We had a great discussion afterward about how the characters were brought to life, what the girls would have done differently had they been staging it, what they missed from the book, and so on. We hope we can keep our book club going as long as possible. It's a joy to all of us, mothers and daughters. Thanks again for the inspiration. My mother bought me your book when my daughter Eleanor was born, and I was so thrilled when she got to the age where we could think about forming a group. Becky Linefeld. What a wonderful, wonderful letter. And these little girls, 6 and 7
yes.
years old. Now, this emphasizes to me the thing I observed, and this is going to sound a little crazy, with 3 and 4 and 5-year-olds. When they're introduced to reading, they are so animated, they get so articulate, and they express. And here you have 6 and 7-year-olds.
Absolutely.
This is something that too many people do not realize how intelligent children are and what they can tell you that you in a million years wouldn't have even considered they were thinking about.
Absolutely. I mean, I started my second series of book clubs with my, I call her my baby daughter, she's now 16, when she was in third grade. And we thought, oh, they're not going to have as strong a discussion. Wrong. They were like 8 years old, had wonderful discussions.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's terrific.
And I had a group here that started with 5-year-olds where they read the books to the kids and then talked a little bit and then did crafts.
Mm-hmm.
So you can adapt the principles in the book to fit the situation. The goal is to spend time with a book and discussing and having a conversation around the book.
It's such a social environment.
Yes, it is.
And it's safe. It gives the youngsters an opportunity to have an option that otherwise they wouldn't have considered. And I think when you can engage the mind of young people with material. And one of the things, it's a point that I want to bring up. You say, don't worry about what your kids choose.
Correct.
Don't worry about it. Don't get controlling about this, because that is what I would see as the biggest hang-up. If the mothers tried to control what the kids chose. Don't do it.
There's a part in the book where Rita Dove, who used to be the poet laureate of the United States, she started reading comic books,
mm-hmm.
and she talks about it doesn't matter what they read as long as they're reading.
Right.
And that was one of the pleasant surprises for the moms. Young adult contemporary literature is wonderful. Mm-hmm. The moms, actually, we enjoy the books as much as the girls.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots to choose from, and the girls make wise choices about what they want to read.
They're going to typically choose, unless they're in a testing mode, they're typically going to choose what interests them. They don't want to be bothered with garbage.
Right.
They really want something that's going to be of interest to them. And that is a stimulus, and whether it's a fashion book, something on makeup, science, a love story, who cares?
You can have a fabulous conversation on a short story.
Yes.
You know, I mean, you can have a conversation around almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so, just, and the one thing I would caution as I talk about discussing life issues, you cannot decide, okay, I want to talk about eating disorders, so I'm going to go buy a book about eating disorders. You don't control this. It happens naturally. The issues that come up naturally through discussion,
mm-hmm.
and you have to let it happen naturally for all the type A mothers listening.
Ah, yes. Now, one of the comments that you made in your book, or actually it was Monica McGowan, when she wrote you a letter, and I'm just taking this excerpt,
Okay.
They said they meet about every 6 weeks on Sunday afternoons, and they rotate houses every
yes.
6 term, which I think is great. And you said, she says, we moms had to be careful sometimes not to talk too much. Our meetings generally lasted about 60 to 90 minutes, with a good 45 minutes spent discussing the book. And she said, the rest of the time the girls played and talked among themselves, while the moms had time to chat with each other over cookies or brownies. That is so important, I think, because if you interact and then there's that time where the girls can just be the girls, and you know, if it's father, sons, or
mm-hmm.
even if it's a family, where the adults can go off and the kids can still continue their chit-chat on, in their level of chit-chat, and the adults can have their chit-chat on their level.
Yeah, and I usually do it almost twice. The format that I found works is if the meeting starts at, say, 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, as people arrive, the girls go off in a separate part of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And that does two things. It allows the girls to get their giggly meet and greet out of the way. They haven't seen each other maybe since the last meeting. If they don't go to school together, they can share the, you know, gossip they need to get out the way. Also, no one arrives 3 o'clock on the dot.
Mm-hmm.
So it gives people that 30 minutes to kind of arrive, chit-chat, the moms are catching up. And then maybe a half an hour later, you actually start the book club. Now, we also kind of said no eating and drinking during the book club.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want people chewing potato chips and possibly spilling a soda or whatever. So we talk, you know, anywhere from 45 minutes to an hour and a half on the book. And then we always eat.
Mm-hmm.
And the host mom has usually made food that extends the book discussion because it's something that was mentioned in the book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's how you get the second kind of social part of the meeting.
Well, for my listeners, I want you to know I've been talking with Shireen Dodson. She has a book called The Mother-Daughter Book Club, and she published this a number of years ago, and it was brought out again, and I was so delighted when I received the information. And Shireen, I know we're coming close to the end of our visit. I would very much enjoy your sharing your website if you have one. I also want my listeners to know that you can get this at any of the major bookstores. Do you have a website, Shireen?
I have a website in progress, and it'll be the Mother-Daughter Book Club, and it should be up in a couple of weeks.
Fabulous. It's the MotherDaughterBookClub.com. It's going to be ready for viewing in a couple of weeks, so if you have a friend that is interested in this, in Shireen's book, you can learn how to set up these book clubs. It can be done any place, anytime, anywhere. It doesn't have to be anything extravagant. It's just developing the love of reading and enabling you, even you dads out there,
absolutely,
uncles, or, you know, nieces, whatever you've got, then you say, gee, this is something I want to encourage. And I think it needs to be done just as much with the boys as with the girls, because so many times young boys just say, oh, it's not important to read, but if you had something like detective stories or stuff on sports or whatever, it'd be great, and it's a great way for dads to connect with their sons. So I think this is a marvelous piece of material. I encourage you to look at it, to enjoy the wonderful stories that she shares, the relationships that are able to develop, especially as these young men and women are growing up. You don't have this adversarial situation where, gee, you can't do this, you can't do that. Instead, they've got something that's going to interest them and expand their world and their mind. And that's not to say you won't have your rough moments as parents. Believe me, they never go away. However,
it helps you get through them.
Oh, it's just marvelous. Shireen, thank you so much for
being
my guest. And continue your wonderful work, and I hope your daughters continue it with their daughters.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break in just a moment. Phone lines in will be open, and don't you go away. We've got some good things to share. Again, this is the Mother-Daughter Book Club, and it'll teach you how to start a club of your own. Reading lists are in here. Discussion guides are in here. Shireen Dodson has been my guest, and her website will be, in 2 weeks, she'll have the MotherDaughterBookClub.com. So keep your eyes open for that. It's a great thing to share. And if you know of new moms, get them this book. It's a good thing for a baby shower. great to plant the seeds early. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. And I want to let you know, telephone lines are now open. If you would like to call in and chat with me and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, I would be delighted to do exactly that. Here in the U.S. of A., the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, it's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. For anywhere else, from anywhere else, the direct line is 530-876-3222. That's 530-876-3222. If you're a new listener and wondering what you do when you call in, it's quite simple, really. All I need from you is your first name or your initial. Let me give you my mental intuitive impressions, and then after that, you're welcome to ask a question about anything that you're interested in learning a little bit more about. Remember, when I'm doing this, this is meant to be a tool of information. I am an information resource, if you will, and I'm delighted to do that for you on the air. And I've had people ask me, Donna, do you do this privately? Yes, I do. If you want to call me for an appointment, call me at 800-872-8852. That's 800-872-8852. By the way, my newsletter is up on my website for the month of July. In that newsletter, I think you'll find some pretty inspiring material, but more than that, you'll have a listing of the upcoming guests that we have for this month. And boy, have we got a terrific lineup, and I'll be sharing some of that with you in a little bit. Before I tell you about that, I want you to know about the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair. This is an event that I have participated in for a number of years now. It is absolutely phenomenal. It is a total delight to be a part of it. Of course, I get to dress up and pretend like I'm a queen for each weekend. In fact, this wonderful event, people fly in to experience from all over the country. We invite you to do the same. It's taking place in Gig Harbor, Washington, the first three weekends of the month of August. That's August 4th, 5th, 11th, 12th, 18th, and 19th. The hours are from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. I invite you to find out more about these three wonderful weekends where the family, friends, neighbors, invite them to come along with you. It is absolutely awesome. And it's going to be at the Mentor Creek Ranch at 10215 State Road 302 in Gig Harbor, Washington. Now, go to their website, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, and that's F-A-I-R-E, Fair, the old-time spelling, and you'll find out about all kinds of activities. They have photos there. They have some information about past events. It's really, really wonderful, and I'm so delighted to be a part of this because it, I think, just adds so much to my life, but it's just a joy. When you watch adults and children walking around with these big eyes just going ooh and aahing over everything that they see, from the knights in shining armor to these magnificent horses and all kinds of costumes. We have the beggar lady. We have the fairies. We have trolls. We have all kinds of fantasy characters. It is just delightful. So again, the fantasy, the Washington Renaissance Fantasy Fair, first three weekends in August. Do check out their website. You're going to be so glad you did. And there are special prices for families, even for all three weekends. So go in and check out all the information at WashingtonRenaissanceFantasyFair.com. You won't be unhappy that you've done that. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat at 877-876-5227. 888-815-9756 if you're going to call in from Canada. Also our direct line of 530-876-3222. You know, I tried to start giving out the recipe on mint chip brownies yesterday, but we got busy with phone calls, and so I only got a portion of this out. So grab that pad of paper and pen, because I want to give you the information. So I'm going to give you some time to do that, and in the interim, I want to share a quote with you by Robert Fulghum, and this is what he said. The grass is not, in fact, always greener on the other side of the fence. And he said, fences have nothing to do with it being greener. The grass is greenest where it is watered. So when you're crossing over fences, carry water with you and tend the grass wherever you may be. I like his analogy. I think it is marvelous. In other words, pay attention to where you are right now. Take care of where you are right now. I had someone talking with me the other day that was in a working environment they didn't particularly care for. And they were really frustrated. They wanted to know, gee, when they're going to find another job, and so on and so forth. And there was some perception that I was able to share with them. But I made a point to them, which I think is a significant one. Where you are in a moment is where you are. And your present, what you do, affects what is going to be, what evolves for you. If you're in, let's say, like this person that I was talking with, in a job you don't like, don't work in a mediocre with a mediocre attitude. Give it your best. You know that that job or whatever you're going through is only temporary. What if you've done something with your checking account that went blotto and you go, oh, my God, what did I do? This is terrible. I've messed up everything. For that moment, remember, you are the one that is either going to shine like a star, real bright one, so that you can know that you've given your very best wherever you are, or you're going to be one of these little dim lights that sort of flickers every once in a while. Somebody says, oh, you're really alive. Yeah. I don't have too much pity or empathy for people who will be in situations and everybody else is to blame for what's going on around them. Remember, you're the person who's responsible for your attitude. You may be in a situation that isn't so exciting or so special, but maybe you're learning disciplines that you're going to be able to take someplace else. Maybe if you don't have a whole bunch of money at this time, that's okay. Maybe you learn how to budget. Maybe you just learn how to appreciate right where you are and start being grateful for exactly what you have. This is important. Be present in the now. It always looks better on the other side of the fence, according to many individuals. But I learned a long time ago, before you assume that somebody else has it a lot better than you, take time to listen to their stories. And maybe you find that they've got a lot of fancy costuming, but underneath all that costuming, they are starving to death. They are frustrated. They're fearful. They are lonely. There's all kinds of things that can go on. You have to get past the superficial level. But if you as a human being, if you give your best, if you water the grass you're standing on, right where you are, if you take and accept your blessings, know that you're going to be able to change. But more than that, you accept where you are in the moment, making it the best you possibly can be. I guarantee you, your light's going to shine so brightly, people are going to say, what's with you? Goodness gracious, you seem so happy. Be present. Be present with where you are. And when you do that, your grass that you're standing on is going to look so green to other people that are around you, they're going to want to cross over the fence and stand next to you. Mm-hmm. Something to think about. Okay, if you got that pad of paper and pen ready, let's go for it. This is mint. This is a recipe for mint chip brownies. Now, I'm going to repeat what I gave out yesterday because I know you didn't keep it. Brownies, all you need. This is all you need. All you need to do is go to the store, buy a package of mix. If you have a special brownie mix that you put together yourself, it's homemade, go ahead and use it. But the regular brownie mix, all you have to have with that is eggs and 2 eggs, a half a cup of oil, and a half a cup of mini chocolate chips. And if your mix has got all of that stuff in it, all you have to do is add water, great. Then just add the water and then add your mint chocolate chips. Now, let's get to this extra stuff that's really going to make it extra special. And again, this is so easy, for heaven's sake. This is the frosting. This is what you're going to need. You're going to need 1 cup of marshmallow fluff. 1 cup of marshmallow fluff. You're going to need 12 tablespoons of butter, and they need to be at room temperature so that they're soft. 12 tablespoons of butter. 1 cup of confectionery sugar. 1 cup of confectioner's sugar. Then you need 1/2 teaspoon of peppermint extract. Don't add more than that, just 1/2 teaspoon. That stuff is potent. 1/2 teaspoon of peppermint extract, and you need 1/8 teaspoon of liquid green food coloring. 1/8 teaspoon of liquid green food coloring. That's like about 4 drops or 5 drops of green coloring. Now, you're also going to need 1 cup of mini chocolate chips, 1 cup of mini chocolate chips, and then you want to get 8 of the cream de menthe thins, and you want to cut them in half. 8 of the cream de menthe thins, and then 8 of mint parfait thins halves. And they recommend one called Andes. And we've all seen them. You know, if you go to a restaurant, often they give you their particular little mints, and that's what you're looking for, those little rectangular mints. Now, well, this is what you do. You preheat your oven to 350, line a 9-inch square baking pan with foil, coat with cooking spray. If you don't want to use foil, you don't have to use foil. This just makes it easy for you to lift it out so you don't have to clean the pan. But if you don't want to do that, then just use your pan. Just make sure it is well greased. Then you can use non-stick cooking spray. And then on low speed, you're going to beat your brownie mix, your eggs, your oil, and 1/4 cup of water until it's blended. You stir in your chips. Just follow the directions on the package. Spread it in your pan and bake 40 minutes or until the pick inserted into the center comes out clean. Now, some of your brownie mixes that you buy today, if you buy them pre-put together, then what you're going to find, they'll say, do not bake it long, you know, so that it becomes out, comes out hard as a rock. Some of these mixes, when you're baking them, because they continue to cook afterwards, they'll ask you to underbake so that it has a chewier, cake-like texture to it. So follow the directions on the box. Now, what you want to do, once you bake the brownies, you want to then let them cool and remove them from the pan and put them on a rack so that they'll cool thoroughly and completely, because you don't want them warm when you put this frosting on. Now, on medium, you want to beat the fluff, the marshmallow fluff, 8 tablespoons of your butter and the sugar, 1 cup of confectioner's sugar, until it's nice and fluffy. Then you want to stir in the extract and the coloring and blend it well. Then what you do, because your brownies have cooled, you spread them over the brownies, and then you stick it in the refrigerator for 10 minutes. That's right, you stick it in the fridge for 10 minutes, and that firms it up. Now what you do, you take the chips, and you put the rest of the butter in with the chips, which is 4 tablespoons, and you put that in with the chips, and you mix it until it melts. It's going to be very smooth, very silky looking. Then you take your brownies out of the refrigerator, and with the warm chocolate, you then spread it over the cold frosting, and you chill. And then you just garnish it with these little mint candies. And if you want, you can sort of crush them in a plastic bag and sprinkle them over the top if you like, or just cut them in half and just put them in so they're little decorations. But it's a real easy recipe to do, and you'll get all kinds of oohs and ahs. And I think because it's mint, it's just absolutely wonderful for summertime. Actually, it'd be good any time of the year. But I wanted to share that with you. I promised I would give that to you. And just another little food tip. Well, maybe I'll wait on this and share that with you on Monday. Hey, we've got to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't you go away. Other good things to share.
Yeah. If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. If you call from the U.S., the telephone number to call in to is 877-876-5227. If you're calling in from Canada, 888-815-9756. And from anywhere else, it's 530-876-3222. Well, I want to let you know about the guests that are going to be coming up next week. We have a dynamic lineup. We're going to be talking with Bill George, who is the former CEO of Medtronic, which is the leading health service provider when it comes to valves for hearts and some other items. He's put out a book on leadership that I found extremely good. It's called True North. I know you will enjoy it because he's going to be giving some real good insights relative to business. Martha Woodruff is going to be with us on Tuesday, and I love the title of her book, How to Stop Screwing Up. Haven't we all done that at one time or another? Then we're going to be going in for a bit of history. Elfie Hornby, who has been a guest on previous programmings that I have been involved with, this is the third of her trilogy, So This Is America. This is her story about being born and raised in Germany, how during the Second World War she was a dancer for the Russians, and also what brought her to the United States, where she resides today. A great lady. I've really enjoyed having her as a guest, and this book is very well done. So This Is America is the title of Elfie's book. Also, we're going to be talking with Betty Kovacs about The Miracle of Death. Now, that is a title that is a very provocative title, but it's a story that is so rich and warm and full of love. It's absolutely marvelous. So Betty is going to be with us next Thursday. And then on Friday of next week, we'll have an open mic date, so we'll be able to talk about all kinds of things. Meanwhile, we are going to take this caller who is on the line. Welcome to the show, your first name or your initial, and where are you calling from?
C, and it's East Bay in California.
East Bay in California. And your initial is C, like Charles?
Yes.
All right, there. Now, what I'm looking at for you right off the bat is you've got to have patience. You have been doing due diligence. You've been following through. You have been pretty much holding to the course that you have designed for yourself. I think you're getting a bit tired. You're wondering if it's worth maintaining it or if you should just let the rudder go, so to speak, and just follow whatever wants to be followed. I want to say no. You are a person that has an objective. You are not going to be one of those people where you just sort of, well, I'll just see whatever's going to take me. No. You're alert, you're diligent, and you're disciplined. You need a break. You need to be able to have some time for yourself. But don't allow other people to make your choices for you. Don't put yourself into a situation where you are not going to be doing your due diligence. You can take a break and get a breather. so that you get rejuvenated. That's fine. But don't let go of the rudder. I want you to know there are times you sort of flow. There are times you set sail and you let the wind pull you where you want to go. There's a lot going in your direction. It's just coming in tiny steps. What question would you like to ask me today?
Do you see me moving soon?
Not really. What was it you had in mind? I think you are going to have a number of moves coming up in the next 10 years, but I think that it's going to be based on some very practical reasons when you do the moves. Eventually, you're going to have a particular home that once you're in it, it's like you're going to have to, you're going to say a volcano will have to explode underneath this place before I leave it. I mean, that's just the way you're going to be. You're sort of a maverick, though. You like being on the move.
My lease is up, and I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should renew it. I love where I am, but I just, the rent is very high, and the work that I do is helping me in my to support myself, but it's not my passion. My passion is my work, my spiritual work. So I'm just wondering what you see in terms of, should I just stay here and just let time go until something comes along, or I just don't know what to do right
well,
now.
Well, you've really got many questions within one.
Okay.
And let me just say this. First, you are at a positioning of exhaustion. That's the only way I know how to term it at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have a breather. I don't care if it's just going someplace on a regular basis and watching squirrels running up and down trees. You know, whatever is your pleasure. But you need to stop intellectualizing so much. I understand the concern about the lease. I would say that if you read your lease agreement quite carefully, should you decide you want to move, there could be an opportunity for you to be able to give a certain amount of notice so you could move. I would talk to your landlord and suggest that there may be something changing in your work that you would like to renew the lease, because you really haven't done your homework. When is your lease up? In the fall?
No, it was up July 1st.
All right, you're behind.
I can go month to month. It's not a problem.
Okay. Then if that's the case, hang loose with it. Don't make this a big issue.
It's a lot of money, and right now my work is sporadic.
All right, I understand that. But you're putting the cart before the horse in a way. So what you want to do is look at this. You take it one day at a time, one week at a time. And then you look at really where you want to put yourself. So one, that your income is going to be more stable. And that two, then you decide really where you want to be. Give yourself that option. If you want to make it 4 weeks, fine. But give yourself a timeline to work with.
Well, I have, and nothing really has come up. So my thing is that I should stay here until something significant comes up.
Well, it's not just that it's going to pop up. It's not going to work that way for you. Your life has never been really one. It's you are a person that is directed. And when you are directed by your own interests and your own desires, that's when things fall into place. It's the law of attraction. You demonstrate it all the time. When you try to go according to somebody else's stuff, it doesn't work for you. You need to recognize what works for you. You're focusing on the issue of the money, and I understand that, but it's not the money really, dear. There's more behind this than that. And that's where you have to be able to have a break so you can see things clearly. Because you could find one room place if you wanted to. That's not really what you want. So you need to come back to your own integrity. You need to take a break where you have a breather so you can do this.
Okay.
And you'll come out fine. You are going to move, though, more than once until you eventually find your home.
So
and that's not
going to
be a big surprise.
You don't see me moving soon, then?
No. Not right away, no.
Well, my roommate's moving out in the middle of August, so I'm looking for somebody else to rent the other room.
Okay, that's fine. I'm sorry to have to cut you off, hon. I'm out of time.
Okay.
All right. Thank you so much for calling in. This is Donna Sebo. We've run out of time. We'll be back bright, sassy, and ready and able on Monday talking with Bill George. We're going to be discussing leadership. We invite you to join us. Tell your friends. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Make your grass green wherever you are. It's not always greener on the other side. And who wants to take care of somebody else's grass anyway? Have a great weekend. This is Donna Sebo. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.